Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. If you want to take your shooting experience to the next level, then check out Coltac gear for 100% made in America products. Coltac manufactures specialty gear designed for long-range shooting, hunting, and other tactical applications. From their support bags, suppressor covers, shooting mats, and a whole lot more, Coltac is creating tough, durable, and innovative gear for both civilian and professional markets. Go to Coltac.com to see all that they have to offer. That's Coltac.com. If you are wanting to become more accurate and deadly with your shooting, one of the best things you can do is upgrade your trigger with a Timney. Timney triggers are 100% made in America and have been since their founding, providing a crisp, reliable, and repeatable trigger break every time. I'll be shooting Timney triggers in my guns this year, and I hope you'll join me in shooting the world's finest trigger. Go to TimneyTriggers.com to get yours today. If you're looking to take your hunting to another level, there's no better way to do it than by subscribing to Onyx Hunt. If you want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt or download their app today for a free trial. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers podcast. This one is live from Las Vegas, Nevada, here at the Huxworks Safety Company booth here at SHOT Show 2026. And it is day one here, and we're back in the booth. We recorded quite a few episodes this last year here at SHOT Show, and excited to bring some new episodes with some new guests towards you. Today's episode is with the founder, Eric Hadley, out of Got Your Six Coffee Company. He has been a avid hunter, outdoorsman, follower of Jesus, yes, and all-around awesome person. We got Flatland Sam over here.
Welcome, everybody.
That's right, baby. Welcome back to another episode. So, Eric, how's the road trip down, man?
The road trip was awesome. You just get so busy with life and everything. You're just running full throttle.
Yeah.
It's amazing at how just, I mean, I'm an avid road tripper. Love just hopping in the vehicle, cranking some music, catching the miles. You know, it's a way to, it was actually extremely relaxing to drive out here just to unplug, throw in the music, and unwind for, what, 21 hours, 22 hours?
And you guys road tripped all the way from Springfield, Illinois?
Springfield, Missouri.
Missouri. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, we left Saturday morning, bright and early, 8 o'clock, drove all the way out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, stayed the night there, and then finished the drive.
I love it.
Next day.
All right, so all you listeners out there, we got to meet Eric this last year when he was serving up coffee hot and fresh here at the Huxworks Safety booth here at SHOT Show. And when we met Eric, and, man, we just kind of hit it off.
It just clicked.
Right? Would you say a soul connection, right, here at Soul Seekers? And you were just talking about your story and your journey, and it was a powerful one. And so it's fun to go full circle and have you here on the show. Just real quick, what's your history on hunting outdoors for all the listeners?
So, small town country boy, grew up in Texas, Parrish, Texas. You know, fast forward, it's kind of funny because my parents weren't against hunting or guns or any of that stuff. It just wasn't part of the family, if you will. But then, you know, go off to graduate high school, go off to boot camp, did that whole thing. Army Early Commissioning Program, transitioned, went to New Mexico Military Institute, got my associates there, and then transferred up to Maine Maritime Academy. Since then, it's just been nothing but guns, right?
Cool.
The avid Second Amendment, all about caring, protecting family, hunting, providing for family, and just been one of those journeys for a long period of time between... It was, what, 2000 to 2012. I spent most of my time deployed overseas. I was averaging 10 months a year deployed. Been to 59 different countries on a ship, just traveling the world. So, wow. But ever since then, love hunting, love getting out, getting my son involved into it. just being outdoors. I mean, again, it's kind of like road tripping. You just get out and get the peace.
Yeah.
With God's creation.
Yeah. It renews your soul for sure.
Absolutely.
It's kind of funny. This morning we were debating how we were going to walk over here, and I was like, man, we got to walk outside because we're going to be inside all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit of sunlight.
Yeah, it was weird, like living life indoors all last year. You barely got any sunshine, except on range day when the wind was just busting us in the face, and that was brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal.
So, dude, that's awesome. So, your former military,
yep.
Navy?
Navy.
Navy, all over the place. You got out, and you were like, I think I want to brew some coffee.
No, it was just, it was crazy. So, spending all my time deployed overseas, you're missing vacations, you're missing, you know, and I wasn't married at the time, so I didn't have that holding me back, but missing family reunions, vacations, birthdays, all that kind of stuff. And you kind of sounds bad, but when you're continually hitting the same ports over and over again, it kind of got boring.
Yeah, yeah.
And so wanted to make a transition, ended up taking a job with the Coast Guard as a senior engineering consultant. I was running the Coast Guard Yard operations for the Icebreaker Buoy Construction Tender product line up in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Overseeing ship construction and repair, doing all that stuff. So that was my transition out. Did that for about 2 years, and then you had sequestration, government funding issues. Thought I was going to lose my contract, so proactively reached out to a couple classmates of mine. Next thing you know, I'm working Transocean offshore oil, 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
Could live anywhere in the U.S., so we ended up moving to Springfield, Missouri, because at the time, my wife's family was from there, and so that gave her a support system while I was gone for 3 weeks on the rig. But fast forward, you had the downturn of the oil industry. I went through a divorce, found myself in a very dark place about 9.5, 10 years ago, and it was just one of those. You know, when I hired on with Transocean, they had 97 drill ships and drill rigs. Fast forward almost 3 years later, they were down to 28 with the downturn of the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just wrong place, wrong time. I got laid off. Being laid off on the backside of a divorce, you know, for a guy who spent his entire career on the ocean, Springfield, Missouri, there's no oceanfront property around. So, and I could easily get a job, but then I would lose custody of my son, and that was a no-go for me.
Yeah.
So hard line in the sand, 7 months trying to find a job. Just got to the point where I exhausted my savings, had to tap into my retirement. When I did, I was going to do something good with it, and that's how Gutcher 6 started.
That's a pretty cool story. I like it. Gutcher 6, is that you got other people's sixes? They got yours. What's the meaning behind the name?
Gutcher 6 is a World War I fighter pilot term, meaning that I've got your back. If you're looking at the dial of a watch,
yeah,
you know, 12 is high noon, 6 is behind you. So it's an indication of somebody's got your back. And then if you're asked, like, the whole idea with the logo and the octopus, we're lending a hand out into the community in 8 different ways to support Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, EMT, law enforcement, firefighters. You know, that's one of the things that sets Gutcher 6 apart from everybody else, was that when I started the company, and this goes to some of the hard lessons learned, when I started the company, we were doing 100% of the net profit to support the mission. Did that for close to 7 years, then realized that you can't grow your business when you're giving it all away.
Yeah.
So COVID for us was kind of a blessing in disguise, forced me to stop proving the mission and reevaluated things. So through COVID, we're now doing 25%, which is still 25 times the national average. You know, the national average for philanthropic giving for corporations in the United States is anywhere from 0.08 to 1.2%. So yeah, we're doing 25%.
Wow. Wow. Good for you. Good for you. Well, just let's regress here for a second. You said you were raised in Paris, Texas, and you were not raised in a family that was, like, guns were a common thing.
Right.
Like, so where did you learn gun safety or your your desire to be a wild boy and, you know.
So while it wasn't in the family, I mean, stupid stuff. We had pellet guns and all that. That wasn't. But for me, it was, I was an avid scouter back in the day. And so with scouts, I would disappear for the entire summer, go off to scout camp. And just through the evolution of going to scout camp, being surrounded by the shooting and all that stuff, and then getting to a point where I was teaching the shooting side of things, then that just evolved through just the course of scouting. For me, was where it really started for me with the shooting, and then just through the military, being exposed to the guns and all that fun stuff. So yeah,
that's awesome. So when did you dive into, how long have you hunted?
I've been hunting since 2013.
So you're relatively recent at it.
Yep.
What got you into it, and what was this thing that was like, oh, I need this?
For me, it's, you know, a lot of people are out there, they want to hunt for the trophy aspect of it. That's not so much for me. I was introduced to venison back in the day, and it's just, I love it. Love the meat, the aspect, and to be able to me, it's another way to provide for my family and eat clean. And so that's where I'm interested in primarily, is that side of it.
Yeah. Yeah, the clean eating is a lot of fun. I will tell you, I always think of this song, the old Bible church hymn, As a deer panteth for the water, O my soul longeth after you. I always think of that song when I'm out hunting and just being like, dude, I gotta get after it. Like there's something out here that is thirsting for it. And chasing the animals is an excuse to also get outside and get in nature.
Yep.
I work in a building that has no windows. I'm in there from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I miss, you know, I walk out, it's like, oh, the cave, you know, the sun shines bright in my eyes. And I'm just like, man, I miss nature.
Yep.
I miss grounding in it. I miss the realness of it. You know, that's one of the things about nature. It's real. It's not going to lie to you.
Yep.
It is what it is. You might not like it, but you're going to get the real straight story. And you don't get that from people a whole lot.
No,
nowadays.
You don't. Nope.
Yeah. So what did you ever have a big aha moment of like, dude, this is for me. This was, I don't know, maybe a lot of people, it's like a big Western hunt. And all of a sudden they go to the mountains and they're, you know.
I would love to say it was a big Western hunt or something like that. For me, it's just been small town stuff, you know, hunting in Missouri, doing that. I strive for the bigger hunts. Put that on a bucket list for this year.
Yeah.
I think with everything I've been working towards over the last couple of years, this could be the big year for something like that, an elk hunt, or, I mean, just even going up to Nebraska for hunting up there would be a dream for me. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's really interesting now going from state of Washington and moving down to Texas, and I'm like, okay, it's hard to get out west. What, like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like for us, it's we were talking about that with, like, elk hunting, like, you were talking about how hard you wanted to pursue it, and I'm like, man, it's a lot of time. Like, we're so far disconnected from the West now, or for you.
Yeah.
You know, I always have been, but, like, in order to be really successful, there's a lot of time involved in it. But it's funny because you were so used to hunting out West and, like, the freedom, I guess you would say, of just public land and all that, and then he comes to Texas, and it's like, man, there's nowhere to hunt around here. Like, it's all private land.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, I mean, y'all get that as well. Y'all got farms up there in Missouri, but y'all do have a little bit of public land around the rivers and stuff like that. A
little bit, yeah. But it's, if you want to go west, you're looking, you know, 10 to 12-hour drive to get you to Colorado, 20 hours to get you out here.
Yep.
Even more to get you out west to, like, Idaho, or Idaho's a big one for me. I want to do Idaho.
Yeah. We're going, well, are you going to go up to Idaho this year?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to be able to squeeze it in.
Especially with that bait barrel?
Yeah. We'll just have to see. Timelines are everything, you know.
I took Sam the furthest west he's ever been at the time in his life and brought him to Idaho and showed him the mountains, and it was special. What'd that do for you?
Oh, it was, it was an eye opener for me because, I mean, I'd hunted Colorado, and you know, Colorado's Colorado. It's pretty cool. I like it. But Utah and getting to see, like, when we went to Salt Lake and got to see those mountains.
Yeah.
And then going to Idaho, like, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's beautiful. And it I think everybody should get to see it at least once.
My in-laws recently, they're from there, and they had sold property that they had in McCall and then moved up towards, like, Sandpoint.
Yeah.
And my wife and I went, Jamie and I went out there to go visit them 2 months ago. Jamie, for her entire life, has wanted to see a moose in person.
Yeah.
And has gone to extremes. Like, her bachelorette party was going to Maine to try and find a moose. She's gone to visit friends in Alaska that were up there to go see a moose, was never able to see it. We go out to see her parents. They've got, I think it's like 10, 20 acres, whatever, on the side of a mountain. Wake up the next morning, moose are in the backyard.
Yes.
Watching my wife flip and just get super excited. It's like, oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is a great segue into, I started taking my kids hunting this year. And I was always praying with them beforehand, you know, Lord God, you know, if it be your will, you know, we'd love an animal to sacrifice itself and walk out so that we could shoot it. And my youngest boys they're talking to me, and we had a really weird season this year where it was started off really well weather-wise, and then all of a sudden it hit a hot streak, and all the deer just went nocturnal from that point on.
Crazy.
So we would not even see deer. And my boys were always like, Dad, why is God not providing a deer for us to shoot? We'll answer that from my perspective here shortly, but I want to hear your guys' take on this and then also tie it into your journey on your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
and how that came to be. So, Sam, you ever have these conversations?
Yeah, it's timing.
Yeah,
there's a time for everything.
Yeah, God's perfect timing.
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't get everything you want all the time. You're blessed when you need it, you know. And timing is everything. That's how I think of it. I mean, I don't chalk it up as, oh, you know, I did something wrong. No, it's timing. You know, there's a time for everything.
I like it says that in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, to everything turn. There's a season.
Right.
So I love that.
That's how I think about it.
Yeah.
That's the hard part right there, is having the faith to understand that it's not your time, it's God's time.
It's a challenge.
That, dude.
But I'm on a schedule.
Massive, yeah.
This train's going.
Yep. That has been, tying it into my journey, that has been one of the biggest struggles, where is December we celebrated 9 years. 9 years I've been doing this. And to see where we started to where we're at now, nothing but blessing. God's blessing. And this has been nothing. I mean, being here at Huxworth is literally God's answer prayer, right? I think I told you guys last year, I went into church. I was in a dark, dark spot. And just the frustrations with the faith of the timing. And I had prayed to God, God, give me a sign, which he's been amazing. Every time I ask, I always get a sign. Give me a sign. Hour and a half later, I'm driving home. Jamie sends me a text message. All capital letters. Check your email now. A bunch of exclamation points. When I finally pull in front of the shop, I check the email. It's a message from Huxworth. Hey, we're going to SHOT Show. We would love to have you as a partner. Coffee in our booth, 2025. And there's even more of story of why SHOT Show is significant, but just every single time, I'm going to get emotional on this. God's got perfect timing. The hard part is understanding that God's got perfect timing and putting yourself subservient to him and realize that it's not my time, it's his time. Yep.
And I think a lot of people have a hard time recognizing a sign at some, you know, at some points. good or bad, you know, but it's all due to timing. Yep. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it life is finicky.
Yeah.
Right? Like an ultimate to be in the presence of God and make your life an internal prayer and to like really focus on eyes up, not eyes on the water. Like that is a full-time job process just in itself.
Yep.
Let alone managing your relationship with your wife and managing your relationship with your children and parenting. And, you know, if I see something on social media is like, you know, good parents are exhausted. Like it's hard to parent well. And then the stresses of our jobs and do we like our jobs and are our employees doing the right thing? And are we in integrity and in, you yep. know, like, and then here's God just like, hey, man, I got you. Chill.
Yep.
You know, everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to. Right? Philippians 4:16. Right? It's so interesting. I always talk about, like, soul seekers. I started this because I wanted to learn how to hunt. I didn't really know exactly what it was going to turn into.
Okay.
And here we are podcasting at SHOT Show, but what it does is it really opens the doors and makes connections for you and I, and you never know, you know, what type of seed's going to get planted and something will blossom off of that.
Yep. I've always seen Got Your Six as its own little ministry, just to be able to share the word, express and share the journey of all the trials and tribulations and the answered prayers and to give faith and hope to somebody else, because it truly is nothing but blessing.
Yeah.
Nothing but blessing.
Well, that's what we're called to do, right?
Yep. Yep. One of my favorite quotes, Isaiah 6:8, for whom shall you send me?
Yeah.
And that's one of the, you know, that's something I've learned. That's a bold statement right there.
Right.
I know you gentlemen understand this. What comes with that, the weight that comes with that, because the moment you say send me, you become a target.
Oh, yeah.
And goes back to like what you were talking about, the relationships and your job and everything you're dealing, all that stuff. It's insane. You yeah. have to, got to be vigilant, got to be strong, and understand that it's a walk, but he's got your back.
I will say, though, that y'all ever heard of confirmation bias?
Yeah.
Yeah, so meaning if you're looking for something, you're going to find it?
Yep.
That's the ultimate ha-ha-ha moment of God, because as long as you're focusing on it, you're going to find it, right? If you're looking for the negative in a situation, you're going to find the negative. You know, you go shopping for a new car. You're like, dude, I haven't seen many of these cars on the road. And then all of a sudden you see those cars all over yep. the place. The same thing. You look for the good, you find the good, right? And gratitude makes everything enough. When we are staying in an attitude of gratitude,
yep,
is that gratitude makes everything enough. Yeah, I don't have this and I don't have that. That doesn't matter. But I have, you know, the breath in my lungs. I have another day. I have a roof over my head. And start small and just compounds.
It compounds and builds. What's the study that said it's physically impossible to be depressed if you're focused on gratitude and everything?
Yeah.
And it's how observant to that are you? Like, a lot of people, oh, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Like, you're standing here right now. That's a start. You woke up this morning.
Yeah.
You've had something to eat. It's how much can you open up the aperture to realize how blessed you are?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I love with all my travels to the different countries, like, people in America, even homeless people in America, have it beyond blessing.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And it's such an interesting thing, and I'm trying to figure out how to get this out. I feel like my youngest kid has a victim mindset. And I haven't, I mean, maybe I have parented him differently than the others, But I'm like, okay, where are you hearing this language at, right? You made me. You make me. It's not me. And I teach at a school where 70% of my students end up incarcerated.
Oh, wow.
And so we always talk about, like, this V where you are here. Everything is a choice. Everything is a choice. And you either have a reason to change or an excuse to stay the same. And the excuse to stay the same is a victim mindset. And the reason to change is a growth mindset. And from each moment, we have that opportunity. Do I want to stay the same or do I want to have a reason to change? And the reason to change needs to be greater than the excuse to stay the same. Otherwise, people are always going to choose the path of least resistance, right? We're like water. We want to go with the flow rather than overcome and what's over that next peak and, you know, let's grind through this toughness. And yeah, it's really fascinating.
It is.
I will say, though, that getting my kids outdoors hunting, beyond the hunting aspect, is really special because it allows me to get them outside without distractions of other things and having these conversations with my kids uninterrupted.
Getting the kids away from the electronics is a big thing. Like, my son is in a situation where it's 50% custody of me, 50% custody of his mom. When he's with me, I put the restrictions. We don't, you know, limitations how much time you have on the phone. We're not playing video games. We're doing things with the family, chores, all that stuff. And just to be able to get the kids out and realize that stuff will set them up for the future versus just sitting there playing a video game.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. Sam, I'm going to bring some questions over to you because I've been chewing on this quite a bit lately. And Eric, how old are your kids?
I've got a 12-year-old, 16-year-old, and 22-year-old.
Okay, so your kids are older when it comes to this. Sam's kids are quite young and younger than mine. And I heard Sam say something last year that I've been chewing on ever since. I haven't mentioned this to you at all, but it's very interesting. When it comes to, like, my kids are good children, and they always give mom and dad a fit, but they're very respectful to other people. And I think that is a sign of good parenting, where they feel comfortable to act a fool in front of mom and dad, but they know how to hold it together and do the right thing in front of other people. Sam, you always talked about how, did you get your first spanking from someone outside of your family? Or was that Bo? Or do you remember when we were talking about this?
I don't remember the conversation, but I walked the line when I was a kid.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is the idea that, I hate the saying it takes a village, but having a group, a community that supports and is in alignment to the betterment of all of us really makes a difference, whether it's a church body or good friendship group or whatever. And
I think I know where you're coming from.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I think what we were talking about was, we were at a Brandon and the kids were, you know, we were working calves and whatnot in the Brandon pen, and there were some kids and the moms were all kind of all over there, and I think what it was is my son was acting up, and one of my buddies snatched him up and straightened him out, and we were chatting about that, you know.
Yes.
Something similar to that, but that's pretty normal for the people I run with, you know. If a kid's out of line, we all have the same authority to discipline.
Yeah.
You know.
I really chewed on that for quite a long time because I don't come from the same community where everyone actually believes the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I mean, you're kind of an implant into Texas, so you're still building your friend group down there. But, you know, the people that I run with, including you, you know, but I grew up with these guys, and I knew their parents, and their parents knew my parents, and I was treated the same way as my kids are getting treated. You know, it's you say a village, it really is. So I don't know. I mean, it's to me, it's normal.
Yeah.
There's never been any problems or anything.
Man. But you are working on creating a village with mm-hmm. Got Your Six.
Yep.
Right? Is that's the eight tentacles of the octopus that yep. go out into the community?
Yep.
Expand on that a little bit.
So the whole concept is, like you said, Got Your Six is helping veteran, first responder, healthcare professionals and their families. The octopus with the eight arms helping, you know, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, EMT, law enforcement, firefighter. The vision that I have is pretty much whatever Got Your Six can do. Anything from, you know, doing scholarships for kids of fallen heroes to simple stuff. You know, was it several months back you hear that police officers get turned away from a Starbucks, right? When I hear that kind of stuff, I'm always, we pack up a bunch of coffee, send it out to the department. To me, it's, I don't think people realize what we have in this country, and there's too much division, if you will. We need to fix that and pull it back together, take care of our own.
Yeah.
It's, I could go off on a rant, but.
I mean, feel free if you want to. A house divided cannot stand, right?
And exactly.
So the idea is that if we can't all get behind the survival of America.
Well, and it's what we were talking about just a minute ago. Focus on the gratitude. Focus on the positives. If you're always focused on the negatives, or you're trying to spin a narrative to have that division and highlight the negative sides, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's bad apples in any organization that you can ever look at.
Yeah.
Right. If you're going to take a microscope and look, you're going to find a bad apple in any organization.
Right.
It goes back to, what do you choose to focus on, though? Do you focus on the positives and expand on the positives, or are you just going to get bogged down in the negative?
Yeah.
And it feels like that's what we've been like over the last couple of decades, where we just focus on the negatives.
Yeah. Everyone needs a little emotional intelligence training in this world.
Right.
It'd really do good. Realizing that life happens for you, it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing. Have you always been a coffee connoisseur, or why did you start a coffee company?
You know, the funny part, absolutely not. Growing up, I was not a coffee guy, simply because my folks drank coffee that came from either a red or blue can, and I just wasn't a fan.
Right. Folgers and Maxwell House?
Maxwell.
Not saying any names.
Yeah.
I drink Folgers daily.
Yeah. So for me, I wasn't a fan. Then I went off, you know, fast forward, you go to college, and I start sailing on it, graduate, start working on a ship, right? When you're doing 16-hour days, or when you're in the example, like in the Persian Gulf during the second Gulf conflict, and you're doing 20-hour days, and the main engine goes down on you, and you're going to have to spend days fixing it, you need coffee. Right.
Yeah.
So that's when, for me, I started coffee in college, and it really took off for me when I first started working. So you're on a ship, traveling the world, you pull in a port. What do you want to do? You want to connect with friends and family. How do you do that? You go to the local coffee shop, use the Wi-Fi. So I found myself visiting a lot of coffee shops, using up a lot of Wi-Fi. And then you realize that you can't just go to a coffee shop and use their Wi-Fi without ordering something. So you get a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like all of a sudden you start to realize this doesn't taste like what I've tried before. Why? Well, the reason is freshly roasted coffee is different than something that's in a can. Statistically speaking, when you go to a grocery store, you grab something off the shelf, you're going to look, you can find a Best Buy date. A lot of that coffee has been in the can 9-10 months before it's even consumed. And you don't realize that once you roast coffee, as soon as it comes out of the roaster, it starts a, we'll call it a 3 to 9 day degassing period, where you've implemented so much energy and heat into the beans that they just become stressed. Just like a steak, how you let the steak rest, it's the same thing. Coffee has to rest. In that time period, it goes through a degassing period where it's off-gassing CO2. From that point out to about 20 weeks, depending on how you store it, depending on whether you get bean or ground. You know, if you're grinding the beans itself, you're reducing the surface area, or I should say you're increasing the surface area, so you're allowing oxidation to happen quicker and the coffee is going to break down, the oils and the moisture evaporate. So you're going to lose the nuances of the specialty side of coffee. Mm-hmm. After that time period, you're still going to get the caffeine. Most people put cream and sugar in their coffee and doctor it up to taste the way they want it. So you don't even realize that the coffee has flavors in it. But for me, that's when I started to experience that and answer that question and say, why does this taste different than what I'm used to? Started doing the research, opening up the doors. That's where the artistic side of me and the engineer combined just went crazy with it. And was like, oh, you can take a certain bean from a certain area and I can roast it 5 different ways and I can have 5 different taste profiles come from it.
Hmm.
Just because of the way I've introduced the energy and the heat and how I've managed it and the airflow and all that. So the engineers started to geek out with all this and the artistic side, realizing that you can play around and get different things. That's where it started for me.
Cool. Sam's a coffee snob.
I am. Do you do French press? What do you do? You drip?
I do drip, French press, espresso, pour overs.
Do you weigh your grounds?
I do.
What is the perfect weight for a glass of coffee?
See, this is where we get into the subjective side.
For you.
For me, if I'm doing for what, like a pour over?
For a pour over.
Pour over, I'm going to do probably 18 grams in that range.
For a glass?
Yep.
For what is that, 8 or 12 ounces?
That's going to get me 10.
10 ounces.
I'll do 10. Yep.
I'm a coffee snob because I like good coffee, but I'm always looking like I want to make a good cup.
How can you up your game?
Yeah.
And what's crazy about it, though, is like take the same coffee and you do espresso, right? Yep. I've got a fancy grinder that has these extremely small adjustments that you can make. What I love about coffee is you can run coffee through that grinder and pull a shot. And taste it, and it'll be, oh, that's a little tart, bitter. One little tick on the grinder comes through, and all of a sudden it's like butter and smooth, and that's the part that just drives me insane. It's like, it's so cool to drill down and find those nuances, you know, and it's every aspect of coffee. The bean selection, where you're getting it, the elevation plays a role into it. The dirt profiles that the coffee was grown in, and that's before you even get it to the shop, right? You know, how it's processed, how is it naturally processed, honey washed, bourbon washed, then you get it to the shop, how you store it, how you roast it, what temperature you introduce it into the roaster, you know, can play a difference, how much airflow.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every stage has 100 different variables in how you can change the profile.
Right, right.
Yep.
Johnny's just like, I just need a glass of coffee.
I haven't had the luxury of experiencing coffee the way I probably could, the way you guys are talking about.
We ought to get you guys up to Missouri and do a hunt and then
do a little coffee tasting.
Exactly. We've got the whole coffee bar set up.
Can we do a tailgate coffee session?
We can. Do you even know anything about the disaster response coffee truck? The truck setup, so it's a 2016 Ram 2500 mega cab running on Cummins turbo diesel, running 3.5-inch lift, 40-inch tires. Out of the back of the truck, I've got the Red Arc, was it 3,000 watt inverter? I've got enough battery power. We could do industrial coffee, 400 cups, out of the back, off grid. Right.
Now, see, okay. When it comes to hunting, specifically Western big game hunting, there's something special about cranking that jet boil, boiling some hot water, whether it's a pour over, whether it's a coffee pouch, or I'd prefer not instant, all that, but and just sitting there behind my glass, my hands are warm with my cup, and watching the woods come alive.
Yep.
That's probably one of the most special times I could ever say hunting. And I really look forward to that. Do you guys produce anything that I could take into the backcountry or is a little bit more mobile?
So with everything that I've been working on through 2025, I'm excited. I just got one of the emails this morning. For the expansion side, we will have everything that you need to go out in the woods.
Sweet.
That's yep.
Awesome. It's a big motivator.
Yes.
It's like a morale booster.
It's a huge morale booster. Yeah. Right? Totally. Totally. Huge fan. Like, if we're out there and just it sucks and we're in the thick of it and we're not seeing animals or the weather's horrible and got to have a cup of coffee.
One thing will change the day.
Yeah. Because we're grateful for that cup. Because gratitude makes everything enough.
Exactly.
I love it. Hey, wait, off the top of your head, what's probably like the most awesome hunting story or that you could share with the listeners?
The most awesome hunt for me is going to be a little different than probably what you're thinking. So I was looking to take my son on his first hunt a couple years ago, and the weekend that we had planned, as we led into the weekend, he ended up getting sick. And I ended up getting a little under the weather as well. Wasn't feeling that great. We still want our plan where I live. I'm in kind of a private neighborhood, if you will. There's like 6-7 houses, a couple hundred acres built out through all this. And in the back part of the neighborhood, there's a valley that we can hunt in. And so our plan was to go down there. We had set up deer stand, you know, several months, a couple of weeks earlier. End of the day, we didn't get to go because he wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling good. It was sleet and rain and all that stuff. This was during COVID time period. So we're just kind of chilling at the house. My wife and I were upstairs. I'm in the master bedroom, and she got up to go use the restroom or something. And as you go around the corner to the bathroom, there's a big bay window. And so she goes, she's washing her hands. She's like, "Hey, there's a bunch of deer in the backyard." And I go up, sure enough, there's like 2 or 3 bucks. And I think it was like 7 or 8 doe. So I'm like, I turn around, I yell to Lucas. He comes running into the bedroom. So you can imagine.
Crack the slider door open.
Oh, it was. The funny part, he's probably, I'm going to guess, 10, right? So he's standing on the ledge of the bathtub, peering up, looking out this big bay window at all these deer. And I'm like, I give him a set of binoculars. I'm like, "All right, tell me which one." He's looking through. He picks out the deer. I go around the corner. They open up the door because we have off the master, we have a little deck. Open up the door. So I'm looking through glass on my side. I'm literally in shorts and a sweatshirt. He's out there peering up. The whole family, wife, 2 daughters, Lucas, everybody's sitting there. Lucas is calling it out. He picked out the deer, communicated it to me. And then I was like, "Okay, call it out. Tell me when. Count it down." And so after we got on the same page with what deer it was, he called it out, 3, 2, 1. I took it. And then, of course, at that point came the fun part. getting dressed and going out there in the freezing cold rain and gutting the deer and processing and everything else. But just to be able to experience that with him, and it wasn't just with him. You know, the original idea was we were going to go hunting, but it ended up being a whole family event. Like, the daughters were out there. I've got photos of everybody. That was a special day. Spent the good part of the morning gutting and getting everything back, and then we processed. Spent the rest of the afternoon processing, and that night for dinner, I did my famous backstrap. I took the backstrap and I roll it out. I cut it to where it becomes a big piece of flat, and then I'll chop up jalapeno and cream cheese, spread it, roll it, and then do it sous vide. And then once it comes out of sous vide, I'll pan sear it. That's what we had for dinner that night.
Sweet. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Do you and your boy talk about that?
Yep. Yep. We talk about all kinds of stuff. We were talking about the little trips that we've taken. To me, it's, you know, everybody goes out and they buy birthday presents and all that kind of stuff. I'm more of, what can I do to make a memory?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we've actually got a plan coming up for his 12th birthday. We promised him a trip. And the stipulation was anywhere you wanted to go had to be a plane ticket that could get you one from one place to the next, no connections. And so that way, out of Springfield, it ends up being a relatively cost-effective flight. And we didn't get to go on his actual birthday just because of timing and everything, but we're looking at doing that this for spring break.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Good. Sam, when's Bo going to squeeze the trigger for the first time?
I don't know. We've talked about that before. Probably.
How old's Bo right now?
He'll be six this year.
There you go.
He'll be six this year. So probably this year. I mean, there's a chance. I mean, we've had him on the 10/22, and he still has trouble with an optic, like a magnified optic. But with a red dot, he's fine, you know, shooting off a tripod. But I feel confident that he's mature enough to be able to do the right thing. It's just putting everything together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this year, it could be this year. But I'm not, like, pushing him in any direction or anything like that. So, I mean, if he's skilled enough to do it by this coming fall, we could do it then.
Nice. I love it. What's on the horizon for you, brother?
2026 is going to be an epic year. Like I was talking about just before we sat down, got the last document that I need to get to the bank so that we can start the expansion. We're going to be pushing, doing all the marketing stuff, which is something haven't been able to do in the past. Looking forward to the whole nine yards this year. If everything goes as the projections and whatnot, what I've already planned, we're looking at coffee shop, growth and expansion. I'll be outgrowing my current facility, and I've already started the design of the next one and that footprint. We've got the nonprofit, got your six GY6 Foundation nonprofit. I'm going to finish up and get that started. So that way, in the past, we've done everything with other nonprofits, just going directly to them. But I want to start our nonprofit and turn it into an umbrella nonprofit that can pretty much do anything that the other nonprofits don't handle specifically. Yeah, LMTV, working on that for the coffee truck, doing a upgrade to a new disaster response coffee truck. So that's going to be pretty epic.
Sweet. And then you might be hosting Soul Seekers up there on a hunt to.
That would be awesome. Absolutely.
Get that film for Carbon TV and get that rolling.
Yeah, let's get you guys up there. Or if nothing else, let's plan something where do that, something big.
That'd be special. That'd be special. Well, brother, thanks for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. Always good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's a great way to kick off SHOT Show.
Absolutely.
Sammo, great job this morning.
Thank you. I enjoy hanging with Eric. He's a fun guy to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Always have a blast.
It's always good when you can be in a room full of, a huge room full of people, and find some people that you can really connect with.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Well, I hope this show is fruitful for you and that 2026 delivers the way that you expect. Regardless, remember to stay in gratitude.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thankful for the blessings we see and for the ones that we don't.
And then is GY6 direct-to-consumer only currently, or do you guys sell stuff in stores?
We sell stuff in stores. Primarily e-commerce is the big side. We are in grocery stores in the local Springfield area, looking to expand that side. But we also do, if you're a retailer or anything, you want to sell our product, we have that as an option as well.
And then what's your website?
GotYour6Coffee.com. Everything is spelled out, GotYour6Coffee.com.
All right, there you go. From the man himself. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. If you like it, go give it a thumbs up, share it, subscribe, leave a comment, rating, review. Go pick up some Got Your Six coffee. Start your morning with them as they got your six, as you get to stay in gratitude. Remember that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure, and that you can never outgive good, as mentorship is conservation. For Johnny Mack, Eric Hadley, Sam Singleton here at SHOT Show, the Huxworks Safety Company booth, be blessed. Freedom on, and as always, stay soulful.
If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating, as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure.